Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, darling?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. All right, everyone. Well, we've got a great show tonight, I think. We never know where this is going to go. Tonight, setting aside your conscious mind's need to understand. Now, we have to give you the background on this, because Veronica yesterday said, you know, I really want to ask questions of the team about ascension and this and that and the other thing. And I'm going through all of the channelings that I send out, whatever, with the show notification. And there was a sentence, setting aside your conscious mind's need to understand. And the team just grabbed me by the back of the neck and went, there, there. So, in spite of that,
Veronica, what does that mean? No, I'm kidding, actually.
Veronica's going to be asking questions
tonight.
I'm going to
be really careful, though, because I think I understand that setting aside the conscious mind's need to know. I'm going, maybe that's my drive.
Well, I don't know that it's your drive. Where we have to be careful is because the ego gets an opportunity to jump in there. And, you know, the team is relatively evasive about a lot of this stuff. You want to talk about consciousness, no problem. Okay? You want to talk about nuts and bolts, you know, I think you got the wrong guys. But anyway, the way that things are evolving is far beyond our ability to really understand. And when we try to, the ego does tend to grab a hold of it and wants to control how, when, where, why we are evolving. And it's interesting because, you know, Bashar was always very careful whenever Bashar would say, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. Bashar would reiterate and kind of reemphasize, notice we didn't say this and we didn't say that. You know, and I never really got why they were doing it as clearly as I get it today, which was to, you know, kind of shake the ego loose so that the ego didn't grab hold of it and
know everything.
Yes, exactly. And you know, maybe they do that for my benefit so that I can't try to go out there and pontificate because, you know, there's absolutely no way I can. Okay, tonight's show dedication is for peace, safety, and intercession by our star brothers and sisters on any attempts to cause harm or violence against the U.S. from Al-Qaeda or any of its factions. And I actually put this in for a very good reason today. There was an article in the Deseret News that was forwarded to me by a friend who actually I thought she was a friend, but actually after she sent that to me, I thought, I'm not sure she's a friend. I didn't really need to see this. It was a very interesting but a startling article about a man who has been very involved with Al-Qaeda and predicted 9/11, knew it was coming. Very much on the inside of all of this, and there was some really startling information in this article about what was being planned. And so this is my personal request for assistance, because Las Vegas was targeted as one of the locations. And in this instance, it was not going to be planned as, you know, a plane flying into buildings. It was actually a plane loaded with a nuclear bomb, you know, crashing. And in various locations, each one of them had bombs, you know. So that kind of shook me up, and I thought, well, I know the our wonderful star friends, you know, have been adamant about not allowing nuclear weapons to do any kind of real damage on the planet. But this would be low level, comparatively speaking, but not really, because nuclear waste doesn't go away. So that is the reason for the show dedication, and I ask you all to join me in that tonight, especially since I really do. You know, there are a lot of wonderful people here, believe it or not. You know, and Steve Rother, of course, moved his headquarters here quite a while ago. He moved about 6 months after I did. nostalgia, and I really wanted to talk about this tonight. One of the pieces that were in the show announcement was from Dick Sutphin. And this really grabbed me. You know, Squirrel is the one that sends all these and previews them, which I'm so incredibly grateful for, because I really do not have time, and so you wouldn't get them if not for her. But the end of that article is truly a big reason that I'm here tonight. I was married at the time, and I was in a very unhappy marriage for a number of reasons. And I somehow ended up with a book called We Were Born Again to Be Together. And the moment I got this book, I mean, I had spent 20 years working my little hiney off and not reading a thing. You know, all I did was work, literally, and building a big company with my husband and I together. And so this book literally changed my life. I stayed awake day and night, you know, to read this book from, you know, one end to the other. It shouldn't have taken that long, but I was so wrapped up in it, it just completely unwove everything that I was experiencing. And I left my husband within, I believe, 36 hours. And so I'm going to give you a couple of quotes, which he does at the end. He says, I'm going to wrap up this column by sharing related words from the last page of my 1976 book, You Were Born Again to Be Together. Being totally idealistic, what would real love be like? To begin with, it could not be diminished by anything the other person said or did. Your love would not be dependent upon being loved. You would give freely without any expectation of return. In an environment of real love, you would allow total freedom to your mate, expecting no more than the other could give. You would love for what the other was. You would not expect your mate to change to be something he or she was not. You would find joy in the other's happiness. To really love someone, you need to be complete within yourself and without fear. You then will find the joy in the positive aspects of your relationship and allow the negatives to simply flow past you without affecting you. Most of us are far from attaining true love. Even if we believe in it, it is sometimes hard to live it. But what a beautiful relationship this involved detachment would be. By accepting and granting freedom, not out of indifference, but out of tenderness and caring, a couple can overcome karma and evolve beyond the level of problems. Since you would no longer be affected by the problems, you would no longer have the problems. Karma would be balanced, and your own wisdom would have erased the need for further learning. If fear is the problem, love is the answer. Universal love. The goal of everyone now living upon the earth is to rise above fear and learn love. Most are unaware of this fact, but it is the reason we are reborn over and over. We all subconsciously seek love and love's perfection. If we cannot remember what we have forgotten, we will be given another chance to find it when we are together again. End of book excerpt. You can't change what you don't recognize. If the above ideas do not echo your own relationship and you desire this form of relating, what can you do to establish such a union? Think about it. Changes always start with desire combined with clarity of intent. When you desire and know what you want with no indecisiveness whatsoever, you're well on the way to manifestation. Anyway, I thought I would share that with everyone because that was just such a real point of nostalgia for me, recognizing that that little book completely changed my life. And I'm still looking for that love, by the way.
Is this a current article?
Yes, this was actually sent forward with the show announcement. This was just the end of Dick Sutphin's article. It was headed up with spiritual partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And there's some other things about Gary Zukav and so on in the article, but it's short. But the book that he wrote was so powerful for me that, like I said, I left my husband after 20 years within a matter of, I think, 2 days, maybe.
It just unhooked you, did it?
Totally unhooked me.
Isn't that great?
Absolutely, completely unhooked me and sent me on a search because I realized that what I was looking for was not only physical love with someone, but that sense of unconditional love. And that's mm-hmm. been my search ever since, whether it's with a man or all the work I do is really about unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Quoting, I'm just going to read a couple of quotes from some of the channelings that were sent out this week because there was so much good information. Veronica, you mentioned that there wasn't anything bad this week. It was just all really good. It was just all loaded. This has been a really front-end loaded week. I want to share one that wasn't included. This came out today from Solaris Surf Report because this is just so yesterday was a very powerful day, so is today. The surging surf has definitely accelerated. Since the beginning of the week, we have been thrown into nonstop activities. There's so much to do that we can't even begin to count how many tasks are in front of us, and all we can do is keep super busy going from one activity to the next from early morning until late at night. And the next morning, we begin again with a new mountain of tasks. This rush of activity is giving us a sense of urgency. We must get as much done as possible. I mean, this really rung true for me. As quickly as possible. This is true, even though we don't know why we're in such a hurry. Our underlying feeling is that something huge is coming very soon, and that we must get as much done as possible before it arrives. And I do, I have this incredible sensing of exactly what she's writing here. We're currently navigating through a patch of extremely mixed and highly charged energies. This requires special navigational skills and is having a strong effect on us. Our physical bodies are showing the strain in many areas. Some of us are developing strange maladies that arrive without warning and leave just as quickly. One of the weird things happening to me is that I will be walking along, suddenly one of my legs will just collapse and I'll have to scramble to rebalance myself. This forces me to be ultra alert at all times, especially when going up or downstairs. Our minds are full of holes, which is making us more forgetful than usual. When our mind falls into a hole, we simply go blank in that area and don't see the most obvious things. Then when we leave the zone of the hole, we go, oh my gosh, why didn't I see that? Or I can't believe I forgot to close the garage door and left it open all night. These mental gaps are compensated for by periods of ultra-enhanced clarity when everything comes into a super-clear focus. As I said, we're experiencing very mixed energies right now. Our emotions are all over the place. Most of the time, we're in a neutral state, and this is when it's easiest to get things done. Then, without any warning, we become filled with emotions. We can instantly burst into tears. We can suddenly feel that everything is hopeless. We can feel that we are on the verge of physically dying. We can feel that imminent life-changing breakthroughs are almost here. We can become super clear. We can be so filled with pure heart love that it pours out of us. And we can feel all of this at the same time. So true. Right now, many areas where we need to learn something are being highlighted. We're being given numerous dubious situations with non-integrous people who want things from us. For many of us, our old pattern is to constantly yield and give in to their demands. Yet this is a pattern that needs to be broken right now. We cannot carry this with us into our new lives. This is why these murky situations are coming up again and again. We need to learn to say no to the people and situations who don't deserve it. We need to learn that we can only be with the true ones. The true ones are not takers. They are open and clear. They are the people of our future. So we need to start honoring them right now in our present. Many people are also in a phase of learning about responsibility. This often happens when unexpected responsibility is thrust upon us, more responsibility than we've ever had to carry. What is wonderful is that people aren't collapsing under the weight of it. Instead, they're rising up to the challenge and performing beautifully. And this is getting us ready for the next level of one being in action. It's also time for us to take total responsibility for our own lives. We can no longer allow others to carry us. We need to carry our own selves. Another thing that is being highlighted right now are our old habits that need to be discarded. Every day they are becoming more obvious. This is an important part of our preparations for our new lives. We need to get ourselves ready to live in totally new ways. It's similar to an athlete training for the Olympics. We're in training for our new lives, and the sooner we get ourselves in a ready state, the sooner it will come. So, have you been feeling weighted down, darling?
Yeah, actually.
Yes, feeling like a lot of responsibility all of a sudden on your shoulders?
Yeah, I do.
Yes, me too.
But I'm just looking at this going, what are we in train? I laugh because a lot of us were running about 20 years ago, and we're going, what are we running to? What are we running away from? So I get this flash, training for our new lives. I go, boy, we've been training for a long time, Jackie.
We've been training all of our lives, Veronica. This is probably many lifetimes in preparation.
Many lifetimes, yeah. I could see that, yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think this is anything new.
Yeah. Although it really is accelerating, isn't it? I mean, you can't get away from that.
It's accelerating unbelievably. And, you know, I got away this weekend. I had an opportunity to play golf for the first time in 5.5 years. It was hysterical because the next day I couldn't open or close my right hand. I could not believe how sore I was. But I remembered when the team had me start playing golf. They moved me from Carmel to Hollister to play golf. And I had no idea that's why I was going there, and to play, to have fun. And it was a rewiring of the brain. And what was wonderful for me to be out on the course was getting that golf club in my hand again, what it did for my clarity. And I was thrilled. I'm going to go this weekend, and I'm going to go to the driving range and, you know, the putting range. And, you know, we have an 18-hole putting range here that looks over the valley, over the city and the strip. And what the team had explained to me is that it was rewiring my brain.
That's great.
And that's one of the benefits of golf. And so I found that when I got a golf club back in my hand and played 18 holes, I was amazed at the clarity that it created for me. So I thought that was very interesting. All these little, you know, things that we think mean nothing really mean something, all of them. Yesterday, how did you fare yesterday, my darling?
I just was really busy. I thought, strangely, it wasn't exactly like what I expected. I didn't feel a really big, big surge, actually. Did you?
Well, I've had sleepless. I've been dealing with sleepless nights the last couple of nights, so there's a lot of energy running.
Oh, that's right. I had a horrible night. I didn't sleep well at all, actually.
No. The last two nights have been very, very difficult as far as sleep is concerned. I've been awake every hour.
And you know what happened to me last night is I started to do a little bit of yoga, which I do every night, and my leg started running some energy, and I thought, oh, my left leg was going to snap off and never come back. The energy was so intense. I forgot about that. It was like electrical field thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
See?
I forgot about that. I am in big trouble here, and I just put my hands on my knees and stood there for a while, but it was pretty scary.
What I sensed out of it personally was this lack of distortion, and I was going to read this from one of the channelings, but I don't really feel the need to. But I am feeling this myself, this sense of incredible clarity. And a lot of old things that have held me back for one reason or another getting out of the way. And I really believe that this timing, this portal yesterday, I really felt was, you know, kind of a catapulting forward. We've got another one coming up, 11-11. And I am really curious to see where we are, all of us are, about mid-November. Because with all that we've been through, and it's been intense, I have this sensing in it. You know, in traveling and going to a place that I love so much, Carmel, Monterey, Hollister, and this morning I found out they're closing Mission Ranch. Quail Lodge is closing in November permanently, the golf course, the whole place. And, I mean, these are, you know, Mission Ranch owned by Clint Eastwood. That was one of my favorite places in Carmel. And beautiful place.
Is it closing because of finances?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And So, you know, I was really struck with, because I don't go anywhere very often, I was really struck with what's going on out there and how I don't feel touched by any of it. And, you know, and I would hope that everybody listening tonight is in the same experience right now, that we don't have to be part of that experience. But it was pretty shocking to me to see some of the things that were going on. And yet we went to the mall in Monterey, and the place was just jammed. So you never know. It made me laugh.
It's a very strange time that way, yes.
Yes, it is. Because somebody said, you know, what recession? And I said, yeah, really?
Well, Clint Eastwood did very well in that last movie, Gran Torino, or whatever it's called, El Torino.
He's done very well everywhere, but Mission Ranch is a, you know, they have a wonderful bar with a big piano, and everybody sings, and, you know, a beautiful outdoor patio that looks over the, it's just so beautiful. It, you know, Carmela's, anyway, it was very sad to me to hear these things going on.
Hmm.
And, but it also gave me a greater understanding of how blessed we all are to be where we are right now and having the experiences that we're having. And, you know, I just want to remind everyone, the work that we're doing is paying off, believe me. We may feel like we're going through an awful lot, but, you know, we're doing very well, all things considered, I think. You know, we're all functioning and doing well and really being really untouched by what's going on out there in the world, or at the perceived world. The other version of the world, the one that we're not experiencing, and because we get to choose which one we're going to experience. There is no question about that. You know, I'm just observing right now and watching a lot of different things and saying, wow, things are very surreal. The other thing, being invisible to people that aren't supposed to be in your life and highly visible to those that are.
Hmm.
Have you noticed that?
Yes, actually, yes. But we're a bit like you. We live a rather limited experience a lot of times. You know what I mean? We don't go out and mingle that much.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if we go out, we have a couple of restaurants. I mean, everything is right around the portal. You know, we don't have... Even my new golf course, right around the portal.
Well, we have a lovely, sweet home environment and so on, too. And then, you know, hearing all these other things, I go, oh, yeah, there's quite a bit of life out there that we don't experience most of the time.
Well, and I find it interesting living in Las Vegas that until I actually get in, you know, my son takes me downtown or down on the strip or whatever, even only then do I actually see what's being built or what's going on, but I feel so totally removed from all of it. So, and my personal experience is really quite lovely. You know, when I got off the plane and came home, you know, from being in this beautiful environment in California, and I drove home through, you know, Pecoli Ranch where I live, this beautiful place with all the parks and I just thought, God, I live in the most beautiful place. I'm so blessed. And, you know, even though it's desert, it doesn't feel like desert. So I'm up walking it every morning at the crack, literally at the crack of dawn. So, but very grateful to be here. And and I think there's an awful lot to be said about our gratitude with all of this. And choosing the reality that we're going to experience. We don't have to. When I got this letter that I talked about earlier, this article, I realized that we don't have to experience that, that it can be experienced in another dimension, but we don't have to be in that dimension. And that's something we need to get really clear about. We don't need to experience financial devastation. We don't need to experience all of the other things that are going on, not because we're special, but because we choose, because we understand that we can choose that. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Yes, because I was just thinking how one of my questions tonight was to ask the team about 2012. It's our experience, again, is going to be just very subjective and depending on the frequency that we are moving at, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I'm going to go into channel and let you guys go at it.
Now, Jackie, is this of my ego to ask this? I'm just fascinated.
No, I think you should ask. I'm always thrilled. Remember, okay, they're going to answer or talk about what they want to anyway, so don't even worry about that.
And they're wonderful. It's
and they love you. They're not going to be mean.
No,
I'm the one that's mean. They're never mean.
They don't say that about you at all.
As I get the little pat on the head. Okay. Which they better not tonight because my crown chakra is so sore. All these energies have been huge. And by the way, just also today, there was a real popping through of on the veil, you know, just some of the normal exercises I do before a session. I mean, I went out so far. I was so huge. And I was like, whoa. So, and then I got an email from Darlene Natalia, who in New York went by Ground Zero, and she could see ships over Ground Zero and people, you know, kind of midair standing over Ground Zero. So the veil's really thinned out today.
Hmm. Were they on tour?
No. Well, maybe. You know, only you. All right, good night, everyone. I love you all.
Maybe I
All right, everyone, welcome. Welcome, Veronica.
Thank you. Welcome.
And welcome to all of you out there listening tonight. We love you all very, very much. And we understand you have questions for us.
Yes. Are you ready for my questions already?
Well, we would like to say a few things with your permission.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
All right. The level of acceleration that you're all experiencing right now is exponential, everyone. So some of the expansion you may be aware of, but some of you, you're not yet conscious of. In essence, because you're expanding into multidimensionality, it is just that. Dimensions of yourself and other levels, places, etc., that are also expanding. And you're going to bump into them here and there. All right? Now, we've been kind of encouraging you to meditate or to do sit quietly or to do whatever it is you do. Your meditations are going to take on extraordinary proportions and experiences if you give them the opportunity now. Create the time and space, if you can, for these experiences. And trust what you are experiencing. Some of it may be a little out there for you, and we understand that. But the more consistently you meditate, the more consistently you create time and space to allow these things to come in. Perhaps you run chakras, many of you did the chakra activation with us. Spend some time in your chakras. Or in the inner earth star. In the cave or the grotto. Meeting and greeting all of your guides and others. And if you don't do it through that process, there's no reason why you can't do that in a meditative state regardless. Go into a cave or a grotto in a meditation and ask to meet your guides and your others, other lifetimes, other beings that are you. Be patient with yourselves, people. Also, you're going to have a sense of being called, all right, to do certain things. Inexplicably driven to do certain things. Trust that. Follow it. There's a reason for it. One of our dear friends asked a question about the beings in the cave. Now, for those of you that have done power retrievals and have done soul lifting with us, you experience different beings in the tunnels, all right, the tunnels in the caves, which are the chakras. And somebody asked about the tunnel beings. And you are a matrix of beings. You are not just one. You have others with you, all right? For a variety of reasons, they are there, some of them for many, many lifetimes. We try to help cross them over, if at all possible, or if they have other agendas that are appropriate to be with you to leave them there. But you're just now beginning to open to some of these extraordinary experiences that you've not been privy to until now. And we don't want to go on too long, Veronica, because we know you have a lot of questions. So let's see where you want to go.
Well, I love what you're talking about. I've experienced some of that work in the chakras. It's very, very profound. And I'm fascinated by the overlays we seem to have with beings through time.
Yes.
It's not always important to remove that, is it?
It would depend. Now, some of the beings are there that have gotten connected, hooked in because of their anger or a desire to hurt you or stop you for whatever reason. They get sidetracked,
mm-hmm.
all right, and connected in, hooked in to you. But you are composite, you see.
We are composite. That's interesting, isn't it?
Well, there can be other beings with you. And now, many times we've worked with beings who had others of their star family around them. All right. Certainly, you've met people who have had other beings, right, even standing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them perceive them as guides, but in many cases, they are extraterrestrial.
Hmm.
They may take on a human form, because many of them have had human lifetimes at some point.
They can take on a human form even if it's just a screen, though, can't they?
Of course. But not in the chakras. Now, in the chakras, they can do some shape-shifting, but we do call them out. We do know when they're, well, being creative.
But we don't want them in our chakras, is that right?
Well, we didn't say that.
Hmm.
Now, so you see, here you go jumping on something and wanting to run with it. It depends. In some cases, they are observers. And if you'll recall with Robert, all right,
mm-hmm.
you encountered one in Robert's second chakra, didn't you? And what was it there to do?
I don't think I remember.
All right. It was from the Hall of Learning.
Uh-huh.
It was there to observe. All right?
Oh, right. Okay, I remember.
Yes. But we always leave it up to you whether you want them to remain or not. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Because
this
I
is your field. You see, this is where you're going to begin to open up to a concept that's far bigger than what you have of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Your concepts of who you are have been so limited. Here I am. I'm standing in the mirror looking at me. This is me. That's it. That's all there is. No. And look at my little chakras. No. Your chakras aren't small. You get caught up in size, which means nothing. Because you think that your chakras are small. But you see space, again, an illusion. Do you understand?
Yes.
If a chakra can be a portal, which it is, to other lifetimes and dimensions, which it is, and planets and galaxies, even universes, then you would have to assume that a chakra is not very small, is it?
No.
So you see, you're only now beginning to expand your concepts of who you are. So when you look for dimensional, third dimensional, which is what you're looking for, third dimensional answers to multidimensional questions, we get into trouble, don't we? Now, that doesn't mean that we won't try to answer in a fashion that will give you information without limitation. That's where it gets tricky. Do you understand?
I think I do. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Like the word illusion, for example, as I know we speak all the time that it's all an illusion, and then all of a sudden I go, what exactly does that mean? And basically, that's where my questions come from.
All right.
I mean, I use those terms, but I suddenly...
All right. All right, so you want to get into the real basics. Now, these are the things that people have the greatest difficulty with.
Yes.
So when we say to you, there's only one of you,
mm-hmm.
doesn't that take all the fun away?
I don't know.
If we say to you that the only thing that's real are emotions, because that's all you really carry from lifetime to lifetime, at least on Earth, isn't it?
Yes.
And even out there in the cosmos, you've encountered emotions from cosmic lifetimes, haven't you?
Yes.
But you see how those imprint, but not really anything else, does it?
Yes. I agree.
All right. So that would make one wonder if perhaps emotions have an awful lot to do with soul growth, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think so, yes.
All right. So, the scene in which you experience the emotion, does that have to be real?
No.
So it could be a hologram, and that would be all right with you?
Yes. Or it could be a metaphor, couldn't it?
Well, if you're seeing it as real, then it would be a hologram, wouldn't it?
Yes.
A form of illusion that appears to be real.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Lazarus has often said that if you could turn around fast enough, the room you've just left wouldn't be there. Or if you could reach beyond your fingertips, there would be nothing there. That it's all done with smoke and mirrors. You see, the further you get into all of this, the more questions you have, the further you find yourself out there on a floating ledge somewhere, don't you? Trying desperately to get back in. Wait a minute, I don't want to ask the questions. Forget it. I like it the way it is. Those frames of reference that I am used to. the frames of reference that you're used to. Now, you're moving into a time. Well, you're already there, and you've been there for a while, but you could be more conscious of it now. Well, you're going to be more responsible in terms of your emotions and your choices, your beliefs and attitudes, thoughts, feelings, etc., etc., etc. Recognizing now what all that really means. That it all creates a resonance which then lines up with what? A resonant reality. And the goal will be always to line up with the highest resonant reality, isn't it?
Yes.
All right? So now you have options and a little more clarity to be able to get there, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So based on all that information, you want to ask about 2012 now?
Probably not. You know.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, my understanding obviously is a little bit limited at times. And my consciousness of 2012 is that there's such a frequency shift that we won't all share the same illusion by then. That's my sense of it. Is that right, or is that close, or is that...
Is that what you're choosing?
I don't know. I think partly it is, yeah.
Is that what you want?
In a way, yes. In a way, it's beyond thinking of global warming or Al-Qaeda or any of those things. It's just like keep going and your vibration and your reality will be different. I think that.
Keep going where?
In raising the fields and frequency and moving past the collective resonance right now.
All right. All right.
Did that make any sense?
Well, as much sense as you could with this statement, but all right. Yes. Your goal is to continue to raise your own frequencies, your beliefs, your choices, your decisions, your attitudes, thoughts, feelings, all of it. By the time you get to 2012, will you be able to hold it better than you can now? Yes. Will you be able to hold a resonance better than you can now? And longer and stronger? Yes. Will your choices have more oomph? Yes. There are many different descriptions of what's going to happen, that it's a tipping point. We would say that that's probably more accurate than not. It is a tipping point. Are you going to go to sleep at night and wake up the next day and everything's going to be different? Is that what you believe?
No, I don't think so. No. I just feel like the frequencies, things are changing so fast. And I don't know. I just don't know what
All right.
I think.
All right. Well, we could tell. All right. So pretty tough to ask a question when you don't know what you think. All right. So.
Well, I know enough not to nail down the picture. You know, I know
that's
that.
That's right. That's exactly right. Now, we would use these last months, you're now in what, September?
Mm-hmm.
So we would go even all the way back to June, July, August, all right? Even over the last 3 months, have you not experienced a definite shift in the way that you experience and view everything in your world?
Yes.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a quarter of a year, you had or experienced what you might consider a mini quantum shift. Would you agree?
Yes.
All right. So if you were to combine those and say, all right, that's only a fourth of the year, and I still have, what, almost 2 years to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of shifting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think you're going to be by then? Pretty far along, aren't you?
I feel that's true, yeah.
And your reality, you're already feeling the realities pull apart, aren't you, Veronica?
Yes, you bet I am.
All right. Your version of reality is much different than a lot of people you know, isn't it?
Yes.
Even people that you've been close to over the years, if you talk to them on the phone, isn't their version of reality right now much different than yours?
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it's going to get more different. All right? And you're going to hear it. Attention and intention. Constantly choosing where you want to be. What resonance you want to be in. Absolutely, positively imperative now. For all of you. You're going to, and we've said this before, walk down the street and you will be invisible to some people. Jenna said it earlier, she's right. You're going to be invisible to some people. And there are going to be those people that are invisible to others that will be visible to you. Do you understand?
Yes.
It is very difficult to explain what's going to happen because remember that this has never happened before. There is no such thing as a solid prediction for your date on whatever that is in 2012. Some of you are going to pop into it sooner.
I was just thinking, some teach that it's already happened, and it happened in 2005, and it happened
correct.
In 2007.
That's correct. You're going to have all kinds of versions of what's going on. Be careful not to jump on them. This is why we're so careful about what we tell you, because we know what will happen. Well, the team said, no, 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 no. No. Because we're not going to limit you. We see your potential, which, whether you realize it or not, is off the charts. We see your potential. But the moment we give you a potential, we also assign a limitation. Do you understand?
No. Is that because then we expect a certain thing and the expectation narrows the avenue?
Yes. There are some of you that will go beyond that, no matter what we say. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the goal. This isn't high school. It's not even college. This is quantum reality. This is where you're going now. There are no limits. Veronica.
Yes.
In 2 years, you might be experiencing tapping into, hopping back and forth between lifetimes on other planets, levels, dimensions, mass consciousness, whatever.
Well, I'd like that.
All right? And someone else listening may not be.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that they're less? No.
Mm.
You see, if we said, well, you should have this or should do that or may do this, and if someone doesn't get there, where are they going to go with it? Failure and shame. But the next day, they could pop through Do you understand?
Yes.
We don't want to limit anyone. It could happen a week from now. That's how fast you're all changing. So to tie it down to any specific, pretty difficult. We're not worried about all of you that are listening to the shows. We have a lot of others out there that we're far more concerned about.
And we need to come to a close within a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
All right. So tell about your show, dear.
I'm not sure who my guest is next week, but I'm getting some consciousness in business guests coming up on Paradigm Shifters at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night.
So you've changed your time.
We've changed the time. Radiance by Design is just before this show, actually. And that's a call-in show with meditation on.
All right, wonderful.
Thank you.
All right. Now, we're going to offer this to all of you tonight. Since you're all making such quantum shifts, and we know that. We're going to ask that you call us in. And tonight, for a meeting, a grand meeting of all of you, all right, to get together and see where you all want to go, making your choices, conferring with counselors about what choices you're going to have to make to get where it is you're choosing to go within a specific time, since you're functioning within that illusion of time. What changes need to be made? So if you wake up tomorrow morning with a greater sense of urgency to change this or do that, you'll know where it came from. Know that these meetings are done with the greatest of love. Do you understand?
Yes.
And know that we love you so very much. You are all, each and every one of you, amazing. You have gone beyond our expectations. We want you all to know that. You're doing wonderfully, but don't slack off now. This is not the time to do that. And you'd be disappointed with yourselves if you did.
We're still in training, right?
Well, you never stop growing, ever.
That's right.
Ever, ever. There is no end to that. We love you, dear ones. And until we speak with you again in this format, namaste.